your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of a special edition live on this Friday on the Early Line, because we're live in person in studio together. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. High vibes on this Friday morning to set you up for a huge weekend in sports. We'll go around the Daily Diamond Dash in Major League Baseball from a Thursday slate, set up the weekend in MLB as well. But we've got three more NBA playoff games tonight. We've got a quadruple header of NBA playoff action on Saturday. The Stanley Cup postseason on the ice rolls on, as does the 2024 NFL draft. It is night number two, rounds two and three on this Friday in Detroit. We'll look back on round number one. Some winners and losers coming your way in just a bit. I'm not done with my rant on the Atlanta Falcons DRS. There is so much to get to in these final 2 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
That's our job here, setting the table for today on the Sports Grid Network, which is going to be fantastic all the way through and certainly ends on draft night tonight. Once again, bringing that heat, seeing if we get some picks out there. But also tonight, you got rounds two and rounds three. Yeah. There are some big names out there, and I'm not talking about the guys being drafted tonight. Big names on the board for potential trades for teams in order to get picks here. Superstar wide receivers could be on the move, running back, tight ends, wide receivers, you guessed it here. So a lot of great stuff to get to in hour number two and hour number three here on the Early Line.
I've already got some bets to be had here for round number two. Not nearly as many markets for this second round as we had for the opening night. But Cooper DeJean still available in round number two. A couple of match bets we will break down later on here over these final 2 hours. But first, we start in Major League Baseball. What a day.
Yeah,
it was in Chicago. You get Caleb Williams first overall. You still find your way to Rome Odunze with your second top 10 pick at ninth overall. The future of your franchise finally looks optimistic in the Windy City, and the future looks bright for the Chicago Cubs as well. In his Major League Baseball debut, a name you heard here yesterday as we looked at the NL Rookie of the Year odds, Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA for Chicago. A two-run blast, his first MLB career hit in the bottom of the sixth at Wrigley. A two-run home run DRS that was the game-winning home run. Chicago scores all three of its runs in the home half of the sixth inning, capped off by that two-run blast from Pete Crow Armstrong. Remember the name, Cubby's faithful Will.
Look, man, PCA, little PDA into the seats yesterday for our guy with a blast into right field. Absolutely amazing. This is how you want to start your career, off on the right foot. And also, we like what the Chicago Cubs are doing. Bellinger down, injury, doesn't matter. They pick up that victory. Now 15-9, which includes 10-3 in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Now, as we want to talk about the Cubs and their chances to win the NL Central, well, I'll tell you right now, and as Yogi Berra used to say, it's getting late early at this point right now in the Astros. I don't know how much longer you want to wait, because that price point is getting better every day, but you're also digging more dirt on yourself every day as well for the Astros.
So that's the question. It has to be the question, right? It's April 26th. It's still April in Major League Baseball. We haven't even hit the summer. But May's around the corner. We're going to see the calendar flip next week. When does the panic button start to emerge past surface level? It's getting late early, but it's not all that late, and it's still very early. But Houston is 7-19. The Astros, the pennant favorites in the American League entering this 2024 Major League Baseball season, are 7-19. They're 12 games below 500. They have the worst record in a division that features the Angels and the A's. And the Astros are worse than them. The fourth worst record in all of MLB. Second worst in the American League. And nobody's catching the Chicago White Sox for that unfair distinction. Houston is struggling. Donnie, can you point to a reason? Are you truly concerned at this point that Houston is 7-19?
Yes. And, you know, again, every day that goes by, particularly, let's just say early in the season. Now, the one thing you have to remember about the Major League Baseball season is these games count the same in April that they do in September. It's not like you get to the power ball or the money ball and say, hey, man, every win you get is worth 2 points here as opposed to 1 point once you get into September. So you continue to bury yourself. It's going to be hard to get out of this. But you can't point to one thing. Like Jose Altuve is having a great season. Yeah. Only went 1-for-4 yesterday, but leading off at 346. He's the catalyst for the rest of that team. It's not as if they're getting horrendous pitching on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. They're just losing close ball games day-to-day, which all add up. 7-19 on the season. Not something we look for because coming into the season, you're looking at the roster going, okay, let me get this straight. Great 1-9. Starting pitching always comes around in Houston. Right. You wait for some guys to come off the IL and help you about midsummer. Maybe you make a trade or a move there. And a dominant back end of the bullpen, which is something is one of those traits that Houston always has. So even if you're not playing great baseball, two out of the three are probably going to be on a night-to-night basis. Now it looks like nothing is working on a day-to-day basis, which includes going to Wrigley where you're supposed to get runs. Now, granted, the Cubs only got three. You got one. You got four hits. It's not working out right now for the Astros.
Yeah, and I don't really know exactly how Houston alleviates these issues. Of course, Framber Valdez with an elbow injury. He is the ace of the staff. Yeah. He's not going to be there for some time. They still await the return of the veteran in Justin Verlander. But again, have we hit rock bottom and it's only up? I do think there is value on Houston to make the postseason, just to make the playoffs, is plus 102. Yes, they have dug themselves a large hole, even this early in April, being 7-19. But plus 102 to be one of the six teams in the American League, even in a wild card spot, does make a little bit of sense to me. Nobody, by the way, is running away with it in the American League West at this moment. The Rangers lost yesterday. The Mariners won in that divisional duel. Now Seattle, the only team with a winning record in the AL West, and they're one game above 500. The Astros, who were the preseason favorites to win the pennant in the AL, now a plus 650 price. That's the fourth best number. Again, there is value on Houston. You have to expect some positive regression. I think that playoff price makes a little bit of sense. So that's been a surprise to start this year, how bad the American League West has been, led by the team that was expected to win the division. That would be the Houston Astros. A pleasant surprise, though, the American League Central. Three teams above 500, including the upstart Kansas City Royals, 16-10, now for KC. They win a rain-shortened game yesterday at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, 2-1 over the Toronto Blue Jays. It was a downpour yesterday between KC and Toronto. Only five innings, but the Royals do get their 16th win of the year.
And you'll take it there. And also, you want some of that home cooking, right? Like, hey, we have the lead. Maybe if they're down 2-1, it's like, hey, we can wait all night long for this game to actually finish up to give us a pretty good chance to get back into it. Reagans has been very good this year, technically, right?
Yeah.
Comes back yesterday with a couple innings pitched, 3.90. So now on that south side of a 4 ERA, a guy that's supposed to be doing big things in that lineup. Barrios wasn't bad. Five innings pitched, two earned runs. It was 2-1. It was a five-inning game. You get a little bit lucky here, but in the length of a season, you'll take that. You don't have to burn your bullpen. Yep. You pick up the victory. You live to fight another day. Good start to the season for Kansas City. Five games over 500 in April, and not just early April, late April here. Let's see what the Royals got.
KC, again, 16-10 right now, but in second in the American League Central. Why? Cleveland Guardians have the best record in the American League, second best in all of the bigs, only behind the Atlanta Braves. The Guardians bounce back at home against the Boston Red Sox after getting blanked the day prior by the Sox. They score six runs to win 6-4 over Boston. They scored five of those runs in the home half of the second, capped off, of course, by Jose Ramirez. A grand salami yesterday in the land. Cleveland holds on for that 6-4 win over Boston. The Brewers knock off the Pirates for their second consecutive victory, a four-game series split between the Buccos and the Brew Crew. The Phillies get a big win, 5-0 over the Reds, and the Dodgers take care of business against the Nationals. A good start for Yoshi Yamamoto.
Yeah, no, some interesting things going along in Major League Baseball. If you do look at the Phillies, they're bouncing back at a victory over the Reds, but also one of the best pitching staffs in Major League Baseball resides in Philadelphia. Yeah. Take a look at Zach Wheeler yesterday. 6 innings pitch, 1 hit, no earned runs, 8 Ks. He did have 4 walks in that one. Bryce Harper getting back into the lineup, and dad strength, hitting a home run right away. That's a good performance for the Philadelphia Phillies, who, by the way, I believe right now, they might have, it's either one short or one more shutouts this year by their starting pitching staff and bullpen that they did all of last year, and we're only in April, so maybe some good things ahead for the Phillies.
A strong staff for the Phillies, yeah. 16-10 for Philadelphia. Atlanta's won 3 in a row, though. The Braves, the best record in baseball, 17-6. Draft winners and losers from the opening night, the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. Up next here on this Friday on the other road.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the early line, following round number one of the 2024 NFL Draft on a Thursday night out in the Motor City in Detroit. 32 selections. And we grade them now with who had a positive night for the future of their franchise and maybe who set the organization back or just did something we consider plain stupid. Looking at you, Atlanta. So let's start with the positive aspect, DRS.
Yeah.
And our winners from the 2024 NFL Draft and the opening night in the Motor City. Who is your number one winner who takes the cake from the 2024 NFL Draft?
I mean, there's no cheaping out of this. And I guess you can say winner from maybe even last draft. Why? Because that was the Chicago Bears, who had 2 top 10 picks because they made a shrewd move last year by trading their pick over to Carolina, which then turns into you might be getting your franchise guy in Caleb Williams. Now, also, here's what maybe another move could have been. Hey, look, we have 2 top 10 draft picks here. Let's set the quarterback number 1. We'll trade out of, let's just say, number 9. We'll stack up picks. You know, we didn't have a great season last year. We're looking to build long term. You know what they said? And I love this. This is what every single front office ownership group is supposed to do. Draft a young quarterback and don't say, well, we'll eventually get some of those players around you, but we got to get you first. No. You get your superstar quarterback and you surround them with unbelievable talent. Because most people look at the Chicago Bears, Ben, and say what? They don't need another wide receiver. They don't need another tight end. They don't need another running back. Go defense here. Build that up because the quarterback is good enough and he should be fine. And they go, you know what? We love you as a quarterback. We think you could dominate probably with average weapons. Let's give you some of the best weapons in the entire league as a rookie to come in and form good habits right off the bat. I love what the Chicago Bears did with their 2 picks here in round number 1.
Yeah, me as well. Chicago is my number 1 winner. Anytime you get who is expected to be a generational talent in a quarterback with your number 1 overall pick, you didn't have to do any posturing to get Caleb Williams. You didn't need to make a move this year to get Caleb Williams, but you did make the move last year to be settled in this position. And we'll talk about Chicago's outlook and what we can expect out of Caleb Williams in his rookie campaign in 2024 with this Bears organization. But I believe in Caleb. I believe in him as a franchise quarterback in Chicago for some time to come. But the reason I have the Bears as my number one winner is really the guy they drafted with their second top 10 pick, and that's Rome Odunze, who I think is right there neck and neck with both Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers as one of the best wideouts in this NFL draft. And in the final days, DRS, leading up to the first round, there was an idea that because of some flurries of maybe some trades that teams would make in the top 4, in the top 5, in the top 10, that Rome Odunze would be a target and would go much earlier than the 9th overall pick that Chicago could hope to get him for. In fact, Byron Murphy, the interior defensive lineman out of Texas, was the favorite to go 9th overall as we entered the draft last night in Detroit because of the steam around Rome Odunze. Chicago didn't have to move. They stay put with their second pick in the top 10 at 9th overall, and they get Rome Odunze. And it's part of the picture. The Chicago Bears were 3-8 last year before they rattled off 5 wins in their final 7 games. Some thought it might be enough for Justin Fields to stay as the starting quarterback in Chicago. Not the case. And I'm okay with the decision that Chicago made. But you're adding Caleb Williams to a team now surrounded by resources on the outside. The additions this offseason of Keenan Allen, of Rome Odunze, of course, in the backfield as well with DeAndre Swift. You can see the expectation. It's not, hey, kid, go out there, get a 6-7 wins and hope we stay competitive in NFL games. It's, hey, kid, let's get to the postseason. Let's reach the NFC playoffs. Win total is 8.5 for Chicago. The hope is at least 9 wins and an above 500 record. It's a minus money price at minus 104. There's actually a little bit more juice on the no to miss the postseason for Chicago, but it's virtually a pick 'em to make the playoffs. That is the expectation. Will Caleb Williams match it?
It's playoffs or bust now for the Chicago Bears, and rightfully so. Now, normally we'd say to ourselves, what are you kidding me? You're going to put your money, Donnie, on a rookie quarterback in the NFL. And I'm not even saying I'm going to bet the Chicago Bears. But you saw last year, the number one overall pick didn't fare all that well in Carolina. He was set up to fail. Much like we thought, you know, the quarterback previously here in Chicago was set up to fail before he got moved out of town before Caleb Williams. But you saw CJ Stroud. What did he do last year on a team that we weren't expecting? Look, some people thought they would have a decent year, but decent meaning like be competitive, win 6 games, and see what you have for your rookie quarterback. The rookie quarterback was playing on an MVP level right out of the gate with a young football team. And now you see the same thing here with the Chicago Bears. You have the number one overall pick, immensely talented coming out of college, and a better supporting cast than what you even saw last year with the Texans. So why not are we believing? Are we saying, Ben, that means multiple playoff victories? No. I'm just saying at the end of the season, 2 weeks to go, the Chicago Bears will be in that wild card race, if not already solidifying a wild card spot. Because why? Expectations are high, and they should be. This isn't a draft we look at. I wonder if this quarterback works out. This is a quarterback that you looked at for 2 years and said, the team that gets Caleb Williams, watch out. They're going to have a special player.
Absolutely so. And again, that is the expectation. It's year number 3 for Matt Eberflus. If things don't work out this year in 2024 for the Bears, there might be a separation, and that becomes a precarious situation for a rookie quarterback into year number 2 with a new head coach, with a new system. But that's not going to be the hope or the thought this year for Chicago. Who was your second winner of the night on round number 1?
Pretty easy to me. It was the Minnesota Vikings. And when you take a look again at why you win here, well, most teams are going to be winners if you get 2 first-round draft picks, which they ended up getting. J.J. McCarthy was the guy that you heard all offseason long. Where was he going? Which team loved him? What is the perfect fit here? It was obviously going and picking again with the Minnesota Vikings. You're going to get a top-flight wide receiver right out of the gate in Justin Jefferson. He should do well in an offensive scheme, which everybody says, hey, just get attached to that Sean McVay scheme. You should be fine. Love that pick. But then also coming up there and getting Dallas Turner, one of the best, if not the best defensive players in the draft. I thought that's a steal to get him at 17 off the edge. Sometimes we just look at positions. Because we're going to get into our losers in a little bit.
Yeah.
You can't look at Minnesota and say, well, I don't know about that. They got the guy that they thought was going to be their franchise guy. Boom. 15 years, you got that covered.
Yeah.
And then you get a dominant defender who you don't need time for dominant defensive end. Say, he's got to learn the NFL. Like, no, there's the quarterback. Go tackle him, and you can do that at a high level.
Hats off to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager in Minneapolis. He acquired the 23rd overall pick from the Cleveland Browns. We thought it would be to move up probably for J.J. McCarthy. They did actually move up, but just by a spot with the New York Jets to get McCarthy, their guy who they consider the face of the franchise. We can project the prospect that is McCarthy in the National Football League, but the Vikes were convinced, minus 170 for Minnesota to take J.J. McCarthy. They were the favored team to select him before the draft got started last night. And Dallas Turner was the odds-on favorite to be the first defensive player drafted before the draft started. He falls to 17, a great pickup for the Vikes. We'll fire through our winners. Losers for the 2024 NFL Draft next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Minnesota Vikings were active in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft, trading up twice by one spot from 11 to 10 with the New York Jets to select J.J. McCarthy. They had circled their guy throughout the entirety of this draft cycle, and now they have their new face of the franchise in the Twin Cities, and then up from 23rd overall to 17th overall in a deal with Jacksonville to get Dallas Turner. I had the Vikings as one of my winners as well, but just to change up the conversation, I went with another NFC North team. In fact, the hometown team last night, that's the Detroit Lions, who were slotted in with the 29th overall pick, but made a deal with the Dallas Cowboys to move up to 24th overall to select Terrion Arnold. Now, Brad Holmes has absolutely slayed the NFL draft in the last 2 years. You think about all the impact rookies for the Detroit Lions on their run to the NFC Championship game a season ago. Sam LaPorta, the best rookie tight end, one of the five best tight ends of the National Football League a season ago. Brian Branch, impact player defensively. Same for Jack Campbell in terms of the amount he played a season ago. And of course, Jahmyr Gibbs, who many questioned with the 12th overall pick a season ago, was huge out of the backfield for that Detroit offense. So for Brad Holmes to trade up by a few spots to get Terrion Arnold, a guy that was in a battle DRS with Quinyon Mitchell, who went 22nd overall to the Eagles. I'll talk about Philly in just a moment, to be the first cornerback taken last night, I thought was a home run hire. He was expected to be in the first half of the first round. Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Detroit adds to the secondary, which was an area of need, not the best pass defense a season ago, and what a big hit it was.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you're taking a look at Detroit. Look, the offense is on lock out there. You kept your offensive coordinator Ben Johnson in town. That's good enough here. Now build up that defense, because when you do want to win late in the season and you go up against teams with dominant offenses like you are going to see in the NFC, if it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers again, which tough loss to them last year, this is what you like to see. You want that dominant player, and it starts at the cornerback position. Like it. And also, battle tested. We'll get to the Eagles pick, which I do like, but anytime you tell me, well, where did one kid go to school? And you tell me Alabama, or he was schooled by Nick Saban? Yeah, he's a pro.
Hey, no shot at Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
Who?
Standing up for the Mac last night,
true.
The first round pick out of Toledo. The all-time leader for the Rockets in terms of career pass breakups, it's why I have Philadelphia as my third winner. 18 PBUs a year ago, second most in the country. The only Toledo Rocket to be named an All-American in the history of that football program by all five major publications. I thought Philly had a tremendous night to stay put. Although Howie Roseman can often be aggressive, he didn't need to be.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell, the best corner in this class, falls right to them at number 22 overall. And A.J. Brown, the extension right before the draft started. We often see that. The draft provides that impetus again to maybe get back into the negotiation room. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown extended 3-year deal, $96 million from Philadelphia, $84 million guaranteed.
And by the way, let's take a look at the fallacy that used to come up all the time, which ownership groups would tell you because they wanted to keep more money in their pocket. Hey, the quarterback, Ben, you can't pay anybody else. The Eagles are paying everybody. And also, the best part about it, the salary cap somehow gets shorter and shorter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, you want to sign a $100 million guaranteed contract? Look at next year. We actually lowered our cap number. Surround your quarterback with weapons if you want to be successful. It's the way to do it. And the Eagles are showing the NFL this is the way. Hey, Cincinnati, you listening out there? Maybe.
Philadelphia DRS. 7-1 right now to win the NFC Championship.
Come on, man.
Fourth best price.
Bargain.
San Francisco, the favorite. Detroit,
bargain.
Second best price. Dallas, I don't know why you would ever lay hard-earned American dollars on the Dallas Cowboys to win an NFC Championship.
Right off,
they can't even get to that game. Philadelphia expected to be back at the top, and I have already bought in on Philly. Who was your final winner of the 2024 NFL Draft's first round?
Simple. You try to evaluate the first round of the draft, and most teams obviously only get one pick. So you look at the immediate need of a football team and say, boy, how can this fit? Last year on Kansas City, what did we say all season? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we're saying, like, boy, you better get them this year, because why? When they get wide receivers, you're not going to stop them. So you plug and play a guy that can outrun a car in a 40-yard dash. That's pretty impressive right now. I love what the Chiefs did, because they had one need here. Get a dominant speed weapon that can beat you deep for Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And what do? They go out and get that weapon. And everybody called it, and they got it. That's why it's a win.
Xavier Worthy, the speedster out of Texas, a 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine back in early March. The fastest ever 40-yard dash in the history of the Combine. They acquired Hollywood Brown in Kansas City earlier this offseason. Before that happened, Xavier Worthy was favored to be selected by KC. He said in Indy when meeting with the media, I saw what they did with Tyreek Hill. That looks like a fun scenario. We really looked at this pick as to what are the Buffalo Bills doing, and we'll talk about that with our losers up next. But from the Kansas City perspective, it could not have gone better.
Yep.
How do you let Xavier Worthy get to Arrowhead and have Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback now? The world may be asking that question for some time. More on the Over Line. I'm next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line, our reactions, our draft grades, our winners, and now our losers for the 2024 NFL Draft in the opening night yesterday in Detroit, right here on this Friday morning. So we gave you our three winners who had a good night in the Motor City to start off the NFL Draft. Now, who had a bad night? And Donnie and I are harmonious with our number one loser. I thought, DRS, about making the losers the same team for all three slots, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, spending their eighth overall pick on Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback out of Washington. Again, this is no shot at Michael Penix Jr., who you also see there, and I'll explain why I consider not the prospect, but the situation he finds himself in, a losing one. But this comes after the biggest acquisition of this NFL offseason in free agency. Four-year deal, $180 million for Kirk Cousins with $100 million guaranteed. And everybody, DRS, we looked at this move optimistically. It made the Falcons the odds-on favorite to win the NFC South. It makes Atlanta a true title contender in the NFC. And then they go and spend their eighth overall pick on a 24-year-old quarterback by the time his rookie campaign starts. I still can't wrap my head around it. And I'm seeing all these explanations as to why Atlanta did it. Terry Fontenot, the GM in the ATL, spoke last night alongside head coach Raheem Morris and explained that Kirk Cousins is the quarterback for now. Michael Penix Jr. was drafted for their future. It's almost as idiotic as the actual selection itself. And there's so many things to break down here. But again, my biggest loser of the night, and by far, the Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, and me too. And it's mine as well. And the reason being is, Michael Penix, if he got drafted number eight overall by the Atlanta Falcons, whose starting quarterback was Taylor Heinicke, nobody. Not a peep here. That's their guy. That's who they got in bet. You're not going to be able to win in the NFL without your franchise guy. You got him for the next decade, and away you go. The way we look at the NFL now, it's not a rebuild league. You quickly can gather assets together. You can shed salary cap. And, of course, if you're a bad football team, the NFL rewards you by giving you a higher draft pick. So you have a top 10 draft pick for need, which you step into. It's rare that you get a Pro Bowl quarterback coming to you without being homegrown and drafted yourself a few years ago. Kirk Cousins, I believe, has 3 years of Pro Bowl caliber passing left in his arm. He plays in a dome. And you brought up a good point here. This isn't Atlanta going like, well, we got to wait out Kansas City. Like, so we got to prepare for our future. We're going to try now, but we got to get ready for our future. Your job only right now for Atlanta is to win that NFC South, which you should be the best team. And if you drafted accordingly last night, you would be an odds-on favorite to actually do that. And I'd say, you know what? They by far, Ben, are the best team in the NFC South. Mm-hmm. But you go ahead and make a move with a first-round draft pick. Let's also remind ourselves what the first round is supposed to be. Impact player day one to help improve your football team. They didn't get that here. No. And also, let's take a look at a fan base that's waiting to see their number one overall pick. Let's just say Kirk Cousins' first two games is average. Throw some interceptions in prime time. We've seen that before. Hey, let's put Penix in. Then you go, cool, let's bench Kirk Cousins. Go, are we just going to eat like $50 million in cap space for the next two seasons to get our young guy to play? There is no explanation. Don't listen to the talking heads that have said, you know what, I look at this pick and it makes sense. It makes no sense whatsoever, Ben. None.
From every angle, from every single angle, as you try to present the rationale. So Terry Fontenot, again, the general manager for the Falcons last night, said it would be a beautiful problem to have if 4 to 5 years down the line, Michael Penix Jr. is still learning behind Kirk Cousins. It's not possible, Terry! As a first-round draft pick, your rookie deal is 4 years with a fifth-year team option. But you need to decide on the fifth-year team option after said rookie's third season in the National Football League. Some people have presented the point that despite the big four-year deal for Kirk, they can get out of it after 2 years. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, we heard that about
Daniel
Jones.
To spend $100 million up front to get out of Kirk Cousins? That sounds like that deal did not pay off in the way that you hoped. And even if that happens, that means Michael Penix Jr. is thrust into a situation where in his third season in the National Football League, it is a prove it year for the Atlanta Falcons to determine at the end of that campaign if they want to pick up the fifth year option, because if they don't, then they have to pay him after year number four in what would be his second deal. And that's part of why I have Michael Penix Jr. as a loser in this situation as well. Michael Penix Jr. will be 24 years old by the time he starts his rookie season in the National Football League. I don't think age is the biggest issue. Of course, every first-round pick, even if they're a little bit advanced in age, you want to see them get to that second deal with your organization. But Michael Penix Jr. does not benefit at his age from really having the 2-3 years to groom in the National Football League and to learn for his own right and to prove to his organization he is the face of the franchise. I wish for Michael Penix Jr. he went anywhere else. If you think I'm frustrated, Kirk Cousins might be the guy that's most mad right now, and he has every right to be.
And he should be, because also he picked Atlanta. Like, it wasn't like, hey, look, you have to go to Atlanta. It's the only place you can actually go.
He tampered to go to Atlanta, as he admitted.
He tampered to go because of how much they wanted him and how much fun he thought he can have in that offense. And also, you're looking down the line. Your agent is going to give you a portfolio. Here's the pluses, and here's the minuses of teams that you would like to go to. And one of those pluses was, I want to get a top 10 pick, quarterback situated. Maybe I'll get a great defensive player who, again, on third downs in the fourth quarter is going to get me the football back. Or, boy, we go get me another weapon like we did last year in Bijan Robinson down here. And my goodness, this is my exact place to play. I can't wait to get down there. And they reward you with, your time is already ticking right here. Yep. Now, some people might say, well, it worked in Green Bay, Ben. Well, you already had an exit strategy for Aaron Rodgers for like 4 years at that point where the future was now. And you didn't have that much money left on the books. You're like, you know, he's going to go to the Jets. We got our guy already waiting. It worked there. You can't say that Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs was like, hey, Alex Smith is going to be that guy. It's a one-year deal, short term, and saying, you know what? This is going to be a baton handoff. This is not supposed to be a baton handoff. No. You got Kirk Cousins because you think he's going to play into his 40s and be a dominant player, and you paid him accordingly. Ben, completely different scenario if you say, you know what? We made a move for Kirk Cousins. We spent a third-round pick. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Prove it, but we're going to get a quarterback behind him. If he does, it's a great scenario for us, and we can control him here. You paid him $100 million guaranteed to be your quarterback, only to tell him you're not really our quarterback.
36-year-old QB, a veteran coming off a torn Achilles, a 2-year deal worth $36 million. Fine, go get a quarterback in the top 10. But the day and age of a top 10 quarterback sitting behind a veteran for a few years and learning is done. Patrick Mahomes was the last one to do it. Yeah. And I saw just a report from the Athletic's Diana Russini, and she was trying to explain the rationale. This is not a shot at Diana Russini by any means. Why would the Falcons make this pick? Because they believe that under Kirk Cousins, with the success they are going to have, they might not have a chance to have a top pick at the heir apparent for Kirk Cousins, so they made it now. Okay, why didn't the Chiefs trade up to number one overall to get Caleb Williams?
Yes.
It's just any argument that you make is dumb. And let me highlight the odds real quick. Let's pull up the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds. Michael Penix Jr. wasn't going to be a favorite to win this award by any means. Caleb Williams, of course, is that favorite. Again, I repeat, let's pull up those NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year odds.
You want me to read them to you?
I got them. I got them here, too. Caleb Williams, plus 250. As the favorite, there it is, to be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. You don't see Michael Penix Jr., the eighth overall pick, listed here. That is insanity. If you're a top 10 pick at the quarterback position, you have one of the five best prices, but the odds makers know he might not see the field in his rookie season or year number two. Again, I'm going to blow a fuse in.
By the way, quickly on the point you brought up there about the general manager going like, it's a good thing if he actually doesn't play for 4 or 5 years. The goal of the draft and the goal of a top 10 pick, again, is immediate impact players on your football team, not what we're going to do 5 years later at this point. There is no rationale for this. The Atlanta Falcons did not get better last night, and that's the goal. They didn't.
So, DRS, you've got two losers you want to highlight. You already mentioned the New York Giants. We got to talk the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
We only have a minute left in this segment. We'll have some more time as we start hour three, as we hear from the public. But what was Buffalo doing last night?
Yeah, quickly on the Giants, a quick snippet. Saquon Barkley was drafted number 2 overall. He's an unbelievable football player. He's a great player. But that's not what the Giants needed here. You got a great wide receiver yesterday, Ben. It's not what the Giants needed yesterday. They needed the quarterback. But the Buffalo Bills needed a wide receiver and or a playmaker. How about the Buffalo Bills just needed a player? And keep in mind, doing round one bust. They didn't have a pick here. That's a bust. That's a bad move.
And listen, there's some thought that Buffalo, because they traded back and amassed draft capital, now has the 24-hour span from night one to night two to maybe inquire about T. Higgins, the wide receivers in San Francisco. We'll talk about it all. But up next, NBA playoff reaction with Coach.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA playoff reaction live right here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Three more games, another tripleheader on this Friday, but three games last night, a tripleheader on a Thursday. It's Ben, it's Donnie live in studio. We missed the coach in the middle for the three-man
week,
but he is here over the airwaves joining us. And, JY, I'm just happy to see you on this Friday morning. As a Knicks fan in all of your Knicks gear, last night in Philadelphia for game number three at the Wells Fargo Center, I wasn't sure you'd make it for this spot. Glad to have you here on this Friday.
Ben, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit nervous myself. I wore a t-shirt, and I had to zip up my jacket, but then I realized all is well, and I unzipped the jacket. Really cool. Actually, a great environment last night at Knicks Sixers.
Like college football adding a two-minute warning for the 2024 campaign, we love to give you more commercials live right here on the early line on this Friday. But we're back. We're live in studio, and JY is still here. So, JY, let's dive right in to what you saw live in person last night in game number three. Philadelphia needed to win. The Sixers do exactly that on their home floor, covering as a five-point favorite, winning 125-114. New York won both games inside Madison Square Garden. Philly, as of now, a perfect 1-4-1 in the city of brotherly love. What was the biggest change the 76ers made last night?
Joel Embiid stopped worrying about fouls and grabbing people's legs, and he just took over the game. Well, let's be quite honest with you. I mean, you know, you can get into, we don't have time to get into this today, whether he's been thrown out or not. The fact of the matter is, at halftime, Joel Embiid got to work. He went to the three-point line, and he hit shots. And I don't care if people say if there were a rhythm or not. He made contested threes. And then what happened was once he got going, New York had to load up defensively, and then that allowed other people to get off. New York couldn't get a stop. What a performance by Joel Embiid. 50 points. Tyrese Maxey was outstanding. And you got to really, guys, out of all people, I called it the campaign game. Campaign was really, really good. Active, 11 points, three threes. This is a guy that can't shoot worth a lick. He has like a full windup in his shot. He was dynamic. Great performance by Philadelphia. Guys, we have a series here, 2-1, with game number four Sunday afternoon, I do believe.
That's certainly what we have. We do have a series 2-1, which is something Laker fans wanted to wake up today and say the same thing, Coach. We got a series. Well, you probably got a series, but it looks like it's going to be a series sweep. The Denver Nuggets just have the Lakers' number right now, Coach. You called this game yesterday. How'd you see it playing out? Was it exactly what you thought it was going to be?
You know what the Lakers remind me of? Lakers remind me of that. You know, this is too much for Ben because Ben's too young. Like the Perkins early, like Bird special dinner, right? They're good. Until about halftime.
No Ponderosa.
And no Ponderosa. Ben may know about Ponderosa. But once they get to halftime, they are done. And typically, like the Lakers, all seven times between this year and last year's series, in the second half, they don't cover. And what a performance by the starters of Denver. And once again, it is a 2-3-man attack with Austin Reaves. But D'Angelo Russell, first things first, you are terrible in the playoffs, 0-for-6 from 3, and then for you not to be in your team's huddle, playing with your phone, eating M&Ms, I don't know what you were doing. They got a problem on their hands, guys, and they're about to get swept in the playoffs again by Denver.
I was more of a hometown buffet guy. I don't know if that has anything.
Homestyle buffet?
Hometown buffet.
Oh, yeah, we had homestyle buffet here. We were big buffet guys back in the 90s. But Ponderosa, Perkins, I mean, me and JY, come on now. Want to go out to one, JY? Come on.
Sanford and Sons theme song.
Maybe Denny's, Grand Slam breakfast.
Grand Slam.
Really good late night.
Listen, I love Denny's. I absolutely adore Denny's. We'll get you to game threes that we have tonight on this Friday. Another triple header. An NBA playoff action and a quick reaction because the people are asking for it for the series between the Magic and the Cavs.
Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A triple header of NBA playoff action on this Friday. Three games of game threes last night on a Thursday. The people are demanding it. The Orlando Magic scratch across their first victory of their opening round playoff series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Finally, JY, who is here for a second consecutive segment. Somebody in this series gets through the century mark. Orlando scores 121 points. They win by nearly 40 over the Cavs. They cover as a 2.5-point home favorite. Not going to ask you so much about the game, but did Orlando's victory last night change how you see this series playing out with who wins and in how many games?
No, it doesn't. I still think this is Cleveland in seven. Maybe this may be a, you know, everybody wins at home. You know how it is, Ben, when you have teams that are not that experienced, right, and have not a lot of playoff success, role players play better in their own gym. Jalen Suggs, who struggled mightily with his shot first two games, he gets you 24 points. Jonathan Isaac played better. Marco Fultz gave you 11. Cole Anthony gave you 10. You look on the flip side, right? Atsuka Okoro, who I liked yesterday, 0 points. Caris LeVert had 15, but struggled. Max Strus, 2 of 6. So to me, this is going to be one of those things that's going to bounce back and forth. I wouldn't be shocked if this is 2-2 heading back to Cleveland for a game five.
Let's take a look tonight. Triple header in the NBA. Game number 2 tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Clippers and the Mavericks here, Coach. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, -4.5 as a favorite towards the Dallas Mavericks. Today, we still sit at that -4.5 price and a total at 211.5. Game number 2, we saw Kawhi Leonard come back into the fold, but the Mavericks still won. Home court advantage now here for the Dallas Mavericks. How does the game tonight play out?
I think it's going to play a little bit faster than people think. Right now, the over under thinks at about 211.5, I do believe. So we're 210 right now. I think the game goes over. I think it'll be a little bit more offense. Kawhi, you know, obviously just trying to get himself going here. But you have dynamic scores on both sides of the ball. I expect a really good game tonight. I do like Dallas minus a point. I think this will be 2-1. This will probably be another long series as well. But the Dallas faithful should be happy. I think they'll get the win tonight and the cover.
When you look at the Dallas Mavericks, they did win in game number 2, led by Luka Doncic, but only 96 points as a team as a whole. Dallas has not scored more than 100 against the L.A. Clippers so far. Game 1's total, 221.5, down by 5 for game number 2, 216.5. Both have stayed under. We're down by 5 again. Total live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the over-under is 211.5 for game number 3 tonight in Dallas between the Mavericks and the Clippers. So let's keep it moving around the NBA. Triple header action. Phoenix at home, down 0-2 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Suns in a must-win, can't-lose spot. 4.5-point home favorite against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, JY, the odds expect Phoenix to get their first win of this series. Do you?
They better. They better, Ben. And to me, it's about, you know, it's about a little bit with everything with Phoenix, right? If you look at a game number 1, Devin Booker does not play well. Obviously, Grayson Allen is banged up with the ankle. Nurkic doesn't play well. They get a little bit of better performance from Devin Booker in game number 2, but then some of the other players do not play well. Nurkic rebounds the ball a little bit better, but they didn't get the performance. I thought Bradley Beal shot 6 of 17. Kevin Durant struggled. This is a big game for Phoenix. I like them minus the points. I will say this. They better win this game, because they may get swept, and then there will be massive, massive changes in Phoenix, which means either Booker or Durant get moved, because they have to break it up, and no one else has value on that team.
Talking about some value tonight, let's see where it lends for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. A 6-point favorite here tonight, but that's not even the biggest news of the night, JY. The biggest news, look at the starting time. 5:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. They're listing the DRS. We want ratings. Everybody can watch. Everybody can enjoy. And also, who's going to be enjoying the victory lane in this game, Coach?
Donnie with the early bird special tonight, folks.
Beautiful.
Donnie Bryce will listen to the entire game and give a recap on social media at the end before he goes to bed. Now, when it comes down to this game, guys, the best thing I love, I like the fact that they haven't moved the over-under at all from game number 2. Remember, game number 1 was about 230.5. This is about 221, 222.5. I'm going over 6 in the last 7 games. So think about this, guys. 5 games this entire season, Indiana games have gone under this number. This game's going to be a track meet. They run. I like the game to go over. I also like Obi Toppin over 7.5 points. Gets out of transition, a couple of dunks. They feed off the crowd tonight.
JY, it was great to have you here on this Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. We'll see you tomorrow betting above the rim on a quadruple header Saturday of NBA playoff action. We end out this second hour. Hour three starts by hearing from you in just over 2 minutes.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.